This Texas Matters podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that explores the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, how Texans vote could have some major changes. Some say for the better, others say for the worse, all in the name of election integrity. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Super Tuesday is when Texans vote in the next presidential primary. It's less than a year away. It's planned for March 3rd, 2020, and it would be the first major hurdle for the growing number of Democrats seeking the presidential nomination. 10 states are anticipated to hold their primaries and caucuses on Super Tuesday. The big ones, including Texas, are California and Virginia. There will be a lot on the line for national and local primary races in Texas, and voting would look very different on that day if Senate Bill 9 passes. SB 9 is called the Omnibus Elections Integrity Bill, sponsored by Republican State Senator Brian Hughes. And there's a long list of proposed fixes to the way that elections are held and ballots are counted in Texas. Some of the big changes would require counties to have a paper vote receipt trail. Critics of the bill say it does nothing to address the biggest problem with voting in Texas, in that it's too difficult to register and to vote. They complain SB 9 would actually make it harder to vote. This week, the State Senate Committee on State Affairs heard testimony from proponents and opponents to SB 9. One of the major election rigging problems that the bill seeks to fix is a problem with vote harvesters. The 229th District Attorney of Texas, Omar Escobar, who oversees the border region, including Starr County, testified that rigging elections there is a business.
Elderly people, many of whom receive food bank distributions, sort of approached by workers and being told, you know, hey, here's an application for ballot by mail. You need to sign this thing. And as soon as you get the ballot, we're going to come in and we're going to prepare it for you. So the practice, as we have seen it, was that they'd go in, and of course, as soon as that ballot came in, they'd swoop in and help them sort of vote the right way.
Escobar said voters who are handled by campaign workers have little awareness that their mail-in ballots are being altered and that they're being victimized.
Our investigation showed that we had one person, just one person, assist 230 voters. In an application for ballot by mail, just one. You had another one that assisted 100 people, another one that assisted 70 people, another one that assisted 50 people. Now, this is the application for ballot by mail. On this other side, on the in-person voting, you have people who are going to assist, and of course, the assistant is watching this voter vote and sometimes marking the ballot for them.
Escobar would like to see tougher criminal penalties for making a false statement on a voter registration application and make illegally assisting voters a state jail felony. Escobar would also like to see local law enforcement have emergency election enforcement authority to have rapid on-the-ground response to election law violations.
And if you know and you can show that, let's say a politiquera, that is a political worker, is knowingly engaging in election fraud to go in and get a TRO, a temporary restraining order, against this person if they can show it in court.
However, critics point out that this would open the door to other abuses of the style that made Duval County infamous, which is also a county that Escobar oversees.
He randomly selected applications, and every single one of them was illegitimate, 100%.
Robert Cables, the commander of the Starr County Special Crimes Unit, agreed with Escobar, saying the vote-stealing practice is rampant.
Every single person that I spoke to had no idea that their mail-in ballot application had been marked with a disability. One of them was a rodeo cowboy. He had zero disabilities. Another one was a firefighter, a jailer, a nurse. We also found that they were being told to let the campaign workers know to come back when the mail-in ballots were in, the actual ballots. And they were coming back and picking them up. They were taken off with them.
The challenge for fixing vote harvesting will be tightening the voter assistance provision without making it harder or impossible for those who are truly disabled from voting. Jeff Miller of Disability Rights Texas opposes the bill.
That and the Americans with Disabilities Act, some of the provisions around access to the polls there, we believe that there needs to be some language in some of the sections that specifically reference those rights so that people don't lose that ability to vote independently because it's so important for the people that we represent.
And while professional vote harvesting is an election integrity issue at the county level in pockets of Texas, statewide, there are significant vulnerabilities to the entire voting system from hackers and foreign cyber attacks, testified Anthony Schaefer, who is an expert on cyber warfare with the London Center for Policy Research. Schaefer said just because an electronic voting machine isn't connected to the internet doesn't mean it's protected from hackers.
I'm here to warn Texans that the paperless direct recording electronic voting machines, known as DREs, are open targets for foreign interference in our elections. Whether it be China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, or any other nation seeking to undermine the integrity of our elections. Texas is one of only 13 states that still use DREs. And it's my understanding that they're using these DREs in over 140 counties.
Schaefer said a paper ballot backup system that can be recounted and audited is needed. This is the standard that 36 states already have in place. But Laura Presley, who is a Republican Party activist and an election integrity advocate who claims there is widespread illegal voting happening in Texas, says more needs to be done.
I've trained about 30 different counties around the state on Central County Watchers, and we've seen some very concerning things all over the state.
Presley said more authority and autonomy is needed to be given to party-sponsored election watchers. She wants them to be able to directly witness and video record the vote counting process.
So we've observed very concerning things all over the state. Dallas County, San Antonio will not let watchers in. They will not let them observe. Dallas County has escorted watchers out when stuff is going on, according to the audit logs. This is a big issue.
If SB 9 is passed into law, it would change many aspects of voting in Texas, including increasing the criminal penalties for anyone who breaks election laws. Critics say this would create a system where a simple mistake on a voter registration form, a criminal act, with the possibility of significant jail time. However, Jonathan White of the Attorney General's office testified that law enforcement's response would hinge on detecting the intent of the offense.
For the offenses in this bill, it's in line not only with other election code offenses, which are similar for false statements, false information given in order to, you know, perpetuate some type of fraud on the system, whether it would be for mail-in ballot application fraud or the fraud involved with a false statement on a reasonable impediment. Affidavit, state jail felony level matches on all of those offenses, as well as penal code offenses for similar types of crimes involving false material statements. The fraud or the fraudulent statements must be made with the intent with the knowledge of the falsity of those statements, and with the intent that they be, you know, used to produce a ballot fraudulently or whatever the case may be.
However, critics point to the prosecution of Crystal Mason. Mason illegally voted in 2016 by accident, she says. She is now serving a 5-year prison sentence. Fatima Menendez, an attorney with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, testified against the bill because she says it's unconstitutionally vague.
The First Amendment permits certain electioneering activities like standing outside of a polling place, holding up a sign, handing out campaign cards, and asking voters to support a candidate. Because these constitutionally protected activities may cause voters to have to walk around an individual who is electioneering, SB 9's reliance on broad terms, such as impede and hinder, render these provisions unconstitutional.
MALDEF isn't the only civil rights organization that is expressing deep concern about SB 9. The Texas Civil Rights Project calls the bill a dangerous new assault on voting rights in Texas. James Slattery is the senior staff attorney at the Texas Civil Rights Project.
SB 9 is a list of rather complex changes to election laws that in general would make it harder for people to vote, in particular people who are elderly, disabled, and non-English speaking citizens. Basically, the changes fall into three different categories. One is that it would boost a campaign of selective criminal prosecutions against innocent voters who make good faith mistakes in the voting process. For instance, you and people listening may know or may have heard of a woman named Crystal Mason in Fort Worth who was last year sentenced to 5 years in prison because she tried to cast a vote in 2016, believing in good faith that she was eligible to vote. But because of where she was in her post-conviction process from a prior felony conviction, could not actually vote. And for that mistake, she was sentenced to 5 years in prison. This bill would boost that already ongoing campaign by eliminating the state's requirement in many cases of proving that the voter knowingly was making a mistake in voting and basically could send them to jail for simply, you know, filling out a form wrong or going to the polls when they didn't know they shouldn't have. And that's not the only change in that regard. It would also boost criminal penalties for other good faith mistakes that voters tend to make in the voting process, raising those offenses from misdemeanors to felony convictions. Another set of changes would essentially, as I said, make it harder for people who need assistance to vote by imposing new form requirements on both them when they vote and when people provide them with assistance or even drive them to the polls. And then the last big set of changes would essentially loosen safeguards on voters' private data, in particular their social security numbers and their voter registration information, so that way more government officials in the state and elsewhere would have access to their private data in order to conduct more purges like the one we've recently seen by David Whitley here in the state. So it's a big, complex bill where the changes don't fit neatly into one category, but the overall theme is that they would make voting a lot harder and, frankly, a lot scarier in the state if they were enacted.
The proponents of this bill, SB 9, say these measures are needed in order to protect elections in Texas.
When they say that, they tend to focus on the last bit of the bill, which has to do with creating a paper backup record for elections, so that way you're not just relying on machines that can be hacked or tampered with. And that may or may not be true of that portion of the bill, but that's only one article out of five. It's only one-fifth of the entire bill is that portion. The other four-fifths would impose unnecessary and unreasonable new restrictions that may target a tiny, tiny population of actual problems with elections, but in doing so, unreasonably restrict voting for thousands or tens of thousands of other people.
Crystal Mason was back in the news recently as a comparison to Paul Manafort when he was given less than 4 years in prison for some of his money laundering activities. And then Crystal Mason has said, well, she got 5 years for her single act of voting by mistake, and then Paul Manafort got less than four. What do you think about that comparison?
I think people are right to be skeptical that the government here in Texas would be able to handle these expanded prosecutorial powers well, given that it's not just a hypothetical concern, but as you noted, we have at least one case, Crystal Mason, where a person made a good faith mistake and is going to serve multiple years in jail, but then, you know, you have other people who commit more serious offenses who seem to get off. For instance, we noted in the letter that we sent to the legislature on this that there are instances of people actually knowingly forging signatures to get on the ballot as a candidate here in Texas, and they got no jail time. So the fact that we already have cases of voters disproportionately, some voters disproportionately feeling punishment while others are not, just underscores how troubling these expansion of powers would be.
So there are candidates who commit fraud, forge signatures, do all sorts of shenanigans in order to get on the ballot. That's not as big of a crime as if someone accidentally voted.
That is how the state has been treating it. And so to give the state even more power now to punish accidents and good faith mistakes is really alarming. Like, they haven't earned our trust to do that sort of thing.
Another provision in SB 9 would allow law enforcement to break the law in order to enforce SB 9. Explain that.
Well, it's almost inexplicable, actually, and I consider it one of the more sinister provisions of the bill, quite honestly. It would grant law enforcement immunity to commit election-related crimes, supposedly during the investigation and prosecution of election-related crimes. I think it's unusual to grant law enforcement immunity to commit crimes at any time. But the only explanation that we can see for this is to enable the government to conduct undercover sting operations with civic engagement groups, political campaigns, wherever they like, and to make sure that those officials are protected by granting them this formal immunity. Clearly, you know, election laws should not be broken, and violations of election laws should be investigated and prosecuted. But to actually open the door for the government to plant spies or investigators in civil society groups or even on political campaigns raises the potential risk of such abuse that I find it hard to believe we would tolerate that in a free society.
Including that provision in the bill, does that signal to you that there are forces in Texas that are really, really going to be going hard at people who do voter registration campaigns? And basically, there will be a secret police out there looking to jump on any sort of infraction.
The universe of potential scenarios this opens up is so vast and alarming that it's hard to know what will come out of it. But I would say that before we grant the government such power, this provision should have been brought into the light of day and debated openly by the people that are proposing it, instead of sneaking it in a one paragraph or two paragraph provision in a bill and trying to sneak it through committee and sneak it through the legislature before people even knew about it.
When people go to vote, typically there might be a table set up on the side ready to explain things to people. That would be not allowed anymore. That would have to go away. They would be impeding the sidewalk. What's that about?
This is another provision that is very, very strange. And it's so strange and unusual that it's hard to know how it will be used, but its potential for abuse is quickly apparent. So basically, this creates a very vaguely worded offense of, you know, impeding a walkway essentially into a polling place up to 1,000 feet from the polling place. While that may sound okay when you first hear of it, consider that in that space, there are nonpartisan people trying to help voters vote. There are electioneers, people who volunteer with a political campaign, who are exercising their First Amendment rights in that space. And there's also just people living their lives. I think someone at the committee hearing the other day on this mentioned that you know, a kid might have a lemonade stand in that area, not because there's an election going on, but because they're just normally in that space. And it would authorize law enforcement to arrest people who are either exercising their First Amendment rights, helping people vote, or just being present in that area under a very vaguely worded offense. And you can see how it could be perverted by, say, a majority political party in that area to have their opponents arrested. It could be unintentionally misused by, say, an overeager election official who thinks someone isn't acting appropriately 500 feet from a polling place and sick law enforcement on them. It really is both, its vagueness, again, opens it up to abuse that might not be apparent when you first hear about it.
2020 is going to be a big election year in Texas. Some are saying this could be the year when Texas becomes purple, that there are some candidates out there that could excite the electorate and bring people to the polls that don't typically vote. And we could see a sea change in the state. And this is something that's been a long time coming, and they think this could be the tipping point with the changing demographics in the state. We could look at the recent voting purges that you mentioned from the Secretary of State, David Whitley, and also these types of laws that are being proposed in the legislature. Do you think that this is the motivation, the intent behind these types of activities are to make it more difficult for certain populations in Texas to vote as a way to hold back the tide?
It's hard for me to speculate on the motives of the drafters of the bill. But I will say, number one, its likely effect is, in fact, to make it harder for people to vote, in particular, the elderly, the disabled, non-English speakers. I would also say that what we saw in 2018, we saw voter turnout here in Texas and across the country unlike we've seen in decades. We saw people renewedly engaged in their democracy, whether it's volunteering on political campaigns, voting, being a part of nonpartisan civic participation activities, and that's reflected in the voter turnout. And for the one priority elections bill so far, to be in response to that, to make voting harder rather than making it easier for these people to vote, and updating our voting systems for the 21st century, such as moving to an online voter registration system rather than a completely paper-based system, that seems like entirely the wrong response and frankly inexplicable.
So this is SB9. It has a low number to it. That means this has been given fast track authority. That signals something to the people in the legislature that this has got the support of the administration.
It is on the lieutenant governor's list of top 30 bills, which is SB1 through SB30. So that's a signal that one of the most senior statewide officials in the state government believes that this is one of the bills that should receive heightened priority over the literally thousands of others that have already been introduced in the legislature. And there's nothing in SB9 that makes it easier to vote. They all either do nothing to make it easier to vote or make it harder to vote. And there's no other bill really with such a high priority that makes it easier for people to vote.
It's also, does it make it harder to register to vote?
Yes, in one way, you know, given the ongoing criminal prosecutions that we have seen around election-related offenses, and given the softening of the intent requirement to make Crystal Mason prosecutions more likely, you know, it's not just the laws itself, but the effects it will have on people. So if I am a citizen who wants to go out and register people to vote and help them get out to vote, but I'm looking at now a set of new laws that would send me to jail for longer if I make an innocent mistake, you might think, well, maybe my time is better spent elsewhere. Why put up with the risk? And the thing is that those volunteers are vital to make sure that people get registered to vote. Given, you know, election officials have limited resources, the state stubbornly refuses to adopt online voter registration. If people are too scared to help other people vote, then that is going to make voter registration, voter turnout a lot harder in this state.
So as this is happening here in Texas, in Washington, D.C., H.R. 1 has passed the House, and it's waiting to see if it's ever going to get to the Senate floor. H.R. 1 is a way to try to make some fixes to the Voting Rights Act, which was gutted by the Supreme Court. If H.R. 1 was ever to find traction in the Senate, and it hasn't found any support from Texas Senator John Cornyn or Ted Cruz, but if it would that help Texans vote?
Well, I'm less fluent in H.R. 1 than I am on SB 9, but I would say that if you look at H.R. 1, what it is generally doing is trying to both make it easier for people to vote and to update voting systems for the 21st century. So things like online voter registration, where people don't have to find a particular paper form somewhere, they don't know where to register, would make it a lot easier for Texans to vote. And I would also say, if you compare H.R. 1 and SB 9, I think it's more fair to think about what values they're getting at rather than necessarily the exact provisions. H.R. 1 seems at every turn to recognize that people have a fundamental constitutional right to vote and that our democracy is better the more that citizens can participate in choosing their leaders and affecting policy. SB 9 does nothing to make voting easier and, in fact, turns the dial back to make it harder. Those value choices are up for people to decide which one they prefer, but, you know, we think here that voting is too hard in Texas already, and we should be trying to make it easier, not harder, for people to vote.
And when you hear Leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, and he talks about his opposition to H.R. 1, calling it a power grab, and that does that sort of help understand why SB 9 is moving forward through the Republican-controlled Texas Senate?
I don't know, but I think the idea that a bill that would make it easier for people to vote is somehow a power grab is laughable. I think we would all agree that democracy is a good thing and that the more people can participate in elections and have the will of the people translated into government, the better off we all are.
James Slattery is an attorney with the Texas Civil Rights Project. They are part of a coalition of civil rights groups that oppose SB 9, which is the Omnibus Election Integrity Bill. If passed, the bill would change many aspects of Texas elections, including creating a paper ballot audit trail for recounts, crackdowns on professional vote harvesting, increase the criminal penalties for false information on voter registration, and make it easier for Texas election officials to conduct voter purges. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can listen to past Texas Matters programs, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.